Further reading. Damon and Pythias. Like the story of the Sword of Damocles, the myth of Damon and Pythias was also told by Cicero, the Roman statesman, orator, and philosopher. According to the myth, Damon and Pythias had been best friends since childhood. They grew up in Syracuse, an important city in Sicily, and both became the followers of the Greek philosopher Pythagoras. One day, Pythias in some way roused the anger of the tyrannical king Dionysus I, who put him in prison and condemned him to die in a few days. Accepting his sentence, Pythias asked to be allowed to return home one last time to settle his affairs and bid his family farewell. Not wanting to be taken for a fool, the king refused, believing that, once released, Pythias would flee and never return. Damon, anxious to gratify his friend's last wish, went into the presence of the tyrant, offering himself as a hostage in Pythias's absence. When the king insisted that should Pythias not return by an appointed time, Damon would be executed in his stead, Damon agreed. So Pythias was released. Pythias hastened home, where he bid farewell to his family, and then set out to return to Syracuse. However, on the way back, his ship was attacked by pirates, and he was thrown overboard. Pythias swam to shore, but he did not have any money, or a horse, or any way of getting back to Damon. Nerved by the fear that his friend would die in his stead, he started to run as fast as he could towards the king's palace. The hot rays of the sun and the burning sands greatly increased his fatigue and faintness, and almost made him die of thirst. Still he sped onward, as fast as his trembling limbs could carry him, for he knew that his friend would die if he were not in Syracuse by sunset. In the meantime, Dionysus was taunting Damon, and constantly telling him, "See, Pythias has abandoned you. I told you he'd never come back." He also insisted that Pythias was only too glad to escape death, and would be very careful not to return in time. Damon, who knew the goodness and affection of his friend, received these remarks with the scorn they deserved, and repeated, again and again, that he knew Pythias would never break his word, but would be back in time, unless hindered in some unforeseen way. The last hour came. The guards led Damon to the place of crucifixion, where he again asserted his faith in his friend, adding, however, that he sincerely hoped Pythias would come too late, so that he might die in his stead. Just as the guards were about to nail Damon to the cross, Pythias dashed up, pale, blood-stained, and disheveled, and flung his arms around his friend's neck with a sob of relief. For the first time, Damon turned pale and began to shed tears of bitter regret. In a few hurried, panting words, Pythias explained the cause of his delay, and, loosing his friend's bonds with his own hands, bade the guards bind him instead. Dionysus, who had come to see the execution, was so touched by this true friendship that for once he forgot his cruelty and let both young men go free, saying that he would not have believed such devotion possible had he not seen it with his own eyes. This friendship, which wrung tears from the grim executioners and touched the tyrant's heart, has become proverbial. When men are devoted friends, they are often compared to Damon and Pythias, whose story has been a favorite with poets and playwrights. For example, in the works of William Shakespeare, Hamlet addresses his close friend Horatio as, "O Damon dear."